presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We are loaded on today's program. It's going to be a lot of fun. Later on, our good buddy, special guest, back for the first time in a while, the former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards is going to be here on Dog Nation Daily. The reason why is, A, it's just always fun to sort of catch up with Terrence, and Terrence is also going to be with us tomorrow during the lunch hour there at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. So we love having Terrence to talk recruiting. He knows so many of these guys so well because of his work as a personal wide receivers coach. He's interacting with a lot of these recruits at all positions, so it'll be fun to have Terrence Edwards here on Dog Nation Daily a little later on. I also understand that Jeff Sintel joining us from an undisclosed location today, sort of a secret bunker, maybe, if you will. I don't quite know what that's all about, but Jeff Sintel, undisclosed location for his Tuesday visit the day before National Signing Day. It is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, if you want to go back in time to December, Kirby Smart told us then, even though that Georgia had racked up and, you know, I can't even keep track of how many five stars it is. It all changes so much, and Georgia's added so much, and the cleanup that Georgia performed, you know, back during that early signing period was so sensational, and Georgia fans were loving the fact that Dogs ranked number one in recruiting. Everybody was feeling great. But Kirby Smart reminded us then of something that's obviously been proven true over the last few weeks, that even though Georgia was sitting at number one, there was still plenty more hay to put in the barn. Here is how Kirby said that back in December.
There's still spots left, and I think you're always recruiting. I mean, we're going to be trying to recruit the rest of the spots, and there's going to be some really, really probably intense battles come January because the guys that are left are targeted by all the top programs. So there's going to be some guys out there that we still go after. So it's not like you can say, okay, relax, we're done, because that's not the case. We got work to do in recruiting.
Kirby Smart's been a man of his word when it comes to that. He has worked hard in recruiting. His staff has worked hard in recruiting every step of the way, and we'll kind of look over the next few minutes at some examples of some of that kind of stuff. One of those guys is, and it's been kind of interesting to sort of figure out how this young man fits into Georgia's plans, given the fact that a lot of us think that Georgia's trying to go defense heavy with these final remaining scholarship spots, and yet when you see a wide receiver like Tommy Bush, the four-star guy, a speedy guy, a fast runner, also a big, tall guy, obviously it's really easy to get excited about the potential addition of him into the 2018 class as well. And there was kind of an interesting exchange here over the course of the last couple days in terms of Bush, who visited Austin, Texas over the weekend. I guess that was maybe his final visit. He's there on the Texas campus, and he tweets that out. Caden Stearns, who is a defensive back for the Longhorns, sees the Tommy Bush tweet. He then tweets back 210 to UT. Now, I don't always speak social media vernacular. I'm assuming that 210 here is an area code. I'm assuming that may be the Houston area code where Tommy Bush is from, or at least near there. That's what Caden Stearns tweets out. Justin Fields sees Stearns' tweet. Justin Fields, the five-star quarterback, the signee, all already at Georgia. When he sees Stern saying that Bush is going to go to Texas, Justin Fields tweets back, no, dot, dot, dot. Pretty matter-of-fact tweet there from Justin Fields, which got Stearns in sort of a response to Justin Fields, who kind of fired back on that, having some fun with it, saying, my brother, it's a yes. That's what Caden Stearns says. And then Justin Fields, with one more final tweet on this subject, says, LOL, you'll see come Wednesday. And a tweet like that from a guy like Justin Fields is certainly going to get more than just the attention of Caden Stearns, the guy that it was meant for, or Tommy Bush, the guy that the tweet was about. A lot of Georgia fans kind of also weighing in on this as well, or certainly leaning in to kind of find out more about this. Wait a second. Did Justin Fields just tip off that on Wednesday we're going to find out that Tommy Bush is a member of this 2018 class? We obviously don't know that for sure. We'll all have to sort of wait until around, what is it, like 11:45, 11:30, 11:45 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow to kind of find that out. What's sort of interesting to me about the Tommy Bush potential announcement, though, is that it's scheduled to take place in that sort of 11:30, 11:45 window, which is earlier than, say, for instance, a guy like Rick Sandage, who's supposed to go somewhere around, I think it's the latest on that, is around 2:30 p.m. now. If Bush is in, and Georgia fans would celebrate if he is, but if Bush is in, that almost would seem to leads you to believe that maybe a guy like Rick Sandage is out. Maybe Georgia already knows Sandage's decision. His family has said they were going to notify the coaches. Maybe they already know that. Maybe that sets the door up for Bush to make his announcement. Tramell Walthor, obviously the other defensive tackle, to kind of make his announcement. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel about that more a little bit later on. It is just sort of an example of the dominoes, the moving parts that we all sort of see kind of falling into place here, maybe even a jigsaw puzzle if you want to use another analogy here of how these final pieces of this 2018 class sort of fit together. And what's kind of ironic is when you talk about Tommy Bush and you talk about another guy we'll talk to Jeff Sintel about in a moment, Tyson Campbell or Rick Sandage, the guy that I just mentioned, those are all out-of-state prospects. Sandage is from North Carolina. Campbell's from Florida. Bush is from Texas. You know, those are all out-of-state prospects. And obviously you want to pepper your recruiting classes with elite players from outside your own state. But really, you know, the focus here on Sandage and Campbell and Bush to a certain extent sort of belies where Georgia's had its most success with Kirby Smith. Smart here in his first couple of years on the job, working on what will be his third signing class here. I thought that ESPN, Sam Kahn, the writer, kind of had an interesting point about that in terms of, you know, if Georgia does build towards the number one class here for Wednesday, when you look at what Kirby Smart's done through his first two recruiting cycles, what you've seen here is a dominance from Kirby Smart in-state. What Sam Kahn writes is that in the last two recruiting classes, that'll be 2016-2017, State of Georgia's produced 12 prospects ranked in the top 50 of the ESPN 300, according to ESPN stats and information. Kahn says the Bulldogs have signed 9 of those. That's Sam Kahn from ESPN saying Georgia signed 9 of the 12 top 50 players in the ESPN rankings over the last couple of years. So while Georgia's trying to pepper its final recruiting spots here in 2018 with out-of-state guys, it's really the in-state recruiting, closing the borders, dominating in-state, that's led to Georgia's success, both in terms of its success in recruiting, climbing the recruiting rankings, and, by the way, winning the SEC, winning the Rose Bowl, getting in the college football playoff. A lot of that's been done on the backs of this sort of in-state recruiting prospects, which sort of swings the attention back to a couple other guys who Georgia will obviously be paying very close attention to in-state tomorrow. Otis Reese, the linebacker from down in Leesburg, Georgia, who's going to make his decision sometime around 10 a.m. tomorrow. We'll carry it for you live here on a Dog Nation Daily. Quay Walker, the linebacker from Cordele, Georgia, who'll make his decision a few minutes after Reese. We'll certainly put our attention on that as Georgia fans try to see if Georgia can keep that dominance in-state. They did that back in December. Hope to do it again here in February as well and close out with that big recruiting class, quite possibly securing the number one overall class in the entire country. The overall bottom line for me in the discussion, though, as we kind of do our sort of final due diligence here before all the letters of intent get signed tomorrow, whether it be a mixture tomorrow of in-state guys with some out-of-state guys kind of mixed in between there, one way or another, it certainly looks like Georgia's putting together another terrific class, quite possibly the best in the entire country. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are so happy you're with us. If you're watching us on video at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. By the way, a lot of you commenting already. I've got my Tailgate Apparel sweatshirt on. You know, we love Tailgate Apparel. We team up and talk to David Green about this a lot, the former Georgia quarterback. Y'all always seem to like it when I wear the retro gear here from Tailgate Apparel. If you're watching us on video, you can see me wearing that today, and we certainly appreciate Tailgate Apparel sending the gear for us to wear today. By the way, speaking of Tailgate, they'll have some great stuff to give away tomorrow. That's Wednesday when we're live at lunchtime for the countdown to signing day, the signing day special. I'm going to do Dog Nation Daily from the Marlows in Dunwoody tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Let me give you the address one more time. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's where I'm going to be tomorrow. We'll do Dog Nation Daily at 10 a.m. Now, if you're watching us right now, the graphic that you see on your screen, slightly incorrect. It says doors open at 10 a.m. Doors in Marlows actually open at 11 a.m. So let me make sure I'm clear about that. If you're coming to hang out with us, and I hope that you are, doors going to open there at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll do our regular show from 10 to 11. Then when the doors open up, we'll kind of hang out. We'll do some off-air conversation. We'll have Terrence Edwards there. That's one of the reasons why Terrence is going to be with us here on Dog Nation Daily today. My buddy Mike Johnson going to be with us as well from SEC Country Live. He'll be kind of chit-chatting you also. We'll eat some lunch. We'll talk about some recruiting. We'll have some giveaways, Tailgate Apparel, Marlowe's. Marlowe's will also give you a free appetizer with your entree purchase if you show up wearing your UGA colors. So all that's going down tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, as I I said, we'll also carry live the Otis Reese announcement. I believe we're going to have the Quay Walker announcement for you live. We'll react to Tyson Campbell when he makes his decision. We'll do all that tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily. It is going to be a lot of fun. Before we bring on Jeff Sintel today, though, there are a couple of subjects I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about. And I was thinking about this last night. And, you know, some of you may weigh in on this in the comment section on our Facebook Live broadcast. By the way, if you're watching us on video, we appreciate that. On the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, we always love hearing from you. And, of course, in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found. But some of you will weigh on the comment section on this. Some of you will hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. But I'm sort of honestly curious about what your rooting interests are when it comes to not Georgia's class. We obviously here on this show want to see Georgia sign the best class it possibly can, but another class or two that could impact Georgia's final ranking. Let me lay this out for you. Nicholas Petitfrere is a five-star offensive lineman, and he visited Ohio State this past weekend. Now, the backstory here with his Ohio State visit is he's thought to be close to Greg Schiano, who is maybe thought to be a replacement for Matt Patricia, the Patriots defensive coordinator. So Schiano may be moving on to the NFL, which may affect Petitfrere where he decides to go to college. But if he goes to Ohio State, that gives Ohio State a great chance of having the number one overall recruiting class in the country, just based on how the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings are going to calculate the numbers. Petitfrere for Ohio State would be a pretty big get for them and their potential push to have the number one overall class. If he doesn't go to Ohio State, though, it gives Georgia a chance, a very good chance, to get the number one overall class if Georgia could get Tyson Campbell. But if Petitfrere doesn't go to Ohio State, there's at least, I would say, a decent chance, maybe even a better than likely chance, that he ends up going to Florida. So think about this choice here for a moment. Georgia can get the number one overall class in the country, and Florida can get a five-star prospect. Or Florida can miss out on a five-star prospect, and Georgia could maybe miss out on the number one overall class. It doesn't exactly have to work out that way. There are other places Petitfrere could go. He could go to Alabama, for instance, which sort of changes this dynamic. But it is sort of a weird situation tomorrow in that Georgia, if it wants the number one overall class, may have to root for Florida just a little bit in order to get that, to keep that young man from ending up being at Ohio State. For me, personally, I can't root for Florida in any regard. Even if it did help Georgia get the number one overall class, I wouldn't be able to do that. For me personally, I'd have to say, you know what, I'll settle for Georgia being number two overall, you know, something along those lines. Let Petitfrere go to Ohio State, maybe, if that's what it takes. But I don't want Dan Mullen to step up and win with one of those big-time five-star offensive linemen. That's not the kind of recruiting win I'm looking to see him secure here on National Signing Day, even if that would mean the potential of making it a little easier for Georgia to get the number one overall class. If you want to weigh in on that, you can on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, in our comments section if you're watching us here on Facebook Live. Or, by the way, if you put comments in the comment section, we put the podcast up at DogNation.com. I always try to read those as well. I try to respond to as many of those as I can. You know, here on Dog Nation Daily, one of our things is we just try to make the show as easy to find and easy to interact with as possible. We want the sort of back-and-forth interaction. We really love that here on our program. As I said, we will have Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a couple of moments. One more thing on National Signing Day, kind of before we get there. And I was looking at a piece from Andy Staples today. Andy, of course, writes for SI.com. And he was kind of writing about how signing day is sort of a different animal now than it used to be. He was even, you know, suggesting, do we still call it National Signing Day? Is this sort of like almost like a low-calorie version of what the event used to be? And obviously, in terms of what the initial intent was of changing the recruiting calendar, moving, you know, signing day from being the only time prospects could sign their letter of intent to also sort of sliding that into give the three-day window in December, this was supposed to be a way to sort of reduce the drama. It was supposed to be a way of saying, hey, for the guys who already know what they want to do, let's let them get that out of the way in December, and then we'll do all the National Signing Day hysterics. We'll do that in February. But y'all know, because you're plugged in, you watch closely, you pay close attention, that's not the way it turned out to be. All the hysteria and the craziness, hysterical behavior of National Signing Day, for the most part, just got moved to December the 20th. We just did all the same stuff. We just sort of did it earlier. And now we only have, you know, a lot of schools a lot like Georgia, and that there are only a few names left to sort of chase down. And I guess what Andy Staples in a roundabout way is writing about, and what, you know, folks like you and me who love college football will be talking about, is is the changes that are made for college football, have they worked out and ended up making the sport better? For me personally, I don't know that they have. I don't know if this is just nostalgia or old-fashioned thinking or what on my part, but I sort of liked it the way that it used to be. I sort of liked it, you know, with just the one signing day, all of it happening in February. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow, even with Georgia having a chance to add some more really good players, to a certain extent, based on and compared to the college football that I'd come to know and love, it is going to feel just a little bit anticlimactic tomorrow. Obviously, that's, you know, said in lowercase letters, given the fact that Georgia has a chance to add some big-time players. But for the sport in general, I'm not so sure this is a move in a better direction. Plus, when you factor in the fact that, you know, this spring you also can start taking those official visits in those warm weather months, that's another big change that's coming. And as I said, I'm not sure these are necessarily changes for the better, but this is another subject I'd love to hear you weigh in on. You can hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily or in our comment section, either during our Facebook Live broadcast or when we post the show on Facebook and on DogNation.com later on. Love to hear your thoughts on that. For now, though, let's sort of focus in on some of those final guys that could be a part of this Georgia 2018 class. Let's say hello to Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So we'll say hello to Jeff Sintel here on a Dog Nation Daily. Always fun to have him on the program on a Tuesday, but especially this Tuesday, given we are just about really 24 hours away from one of these letters of intent being signed, the final pieces being put together for Georgia's 2018 class. And Jeff, my understanding is that you are in an undisclosed location. Is that right? Are you locked into a recruiting bunker somewhere trying to sort of gather together the final pieces, the remnants of information here? Or are you secret location? Is that what I'm to understand here?
Brandon, we're in attack the recruiting day, attack the signing day mode. I've got sugar-free Red Bull. I've got sliced almonds, and we're ready to go, man. We are ready to go.
That is certainly good to hear. I know a lot of Georgia fans are very curious to see all the different things that sort of pop up over the course of the next 24 hours. I'm really excited about what we'll be able to bring live here and the reactions we'll be able to get from all around the South as these final pieces come together. And I guess let me start our conversation, if you don't mind, with a guy that we've obviously spent a lot of time talking about here over the last few weeks. Tyson Campbell's the five-star cornerback. He visits Miami over the weekend. We sort of had some fun on Dog Nation Daily yesterday with James Coley's sort of subtweets to him while Campbell was visiting Miami, you know, referencing the League of Shadows, referencing, you know, without coming out and saying explicitly how much Georgia needs him, and Coley's belief that Campbell needs to be at Georgia as well. Any sort of final thoughts here on Campbell after the Miami visit, after all these sort of talkings sort of been done here? Georgia will sort of wait to find out about Campbell tomorrow. Any final thoughts from you on Campbell before that decision's made?
Lots of final thoughts, Brandon. I came prepared because I know you would want Tyson Campbell overload today. So first and foremost, this is going to really make you grip onto that microphone and maybe clamp down on the sides of those headphones extra hard today, Brandon.
All right.
First and foremost, today is a big day for the Georgia football program, and I'm not talking simply because it's Lee Fromm's birthday. That's Jake Fromm's mother. I am talking about today is probably the day Tyson Campbell makes his decision. I have good information that leads me to believe that he either made the decision late last night or sometime this morning. So the decision, whether it's Miami, Alabama, or Georgia, will likely come down the pipeline today. And, you know, quick teeing up the decision right there, Brandon. It's about location and home feel for Miami. It's about tradition and the process. And just the reputation, if he would choose the Alabama Crimson Tide and Coach Nick Saban. And the neat little fit there for Georgia is kind of a mixture of fit, comfort, and opportunity. He feels that if he can come in and work hard, then he can immediately contend for playing time in the Georgia secondary.
How about coaching relationships between those three schools? Is there a player relationship, a coaching relationship? We know that relationships matter. That's the thing I preach over and over again. You know, we talk about visits, we talk about relationships. Who would you say, you know, has the relationship advantage here?
Well, I think the relationship advantage has drifted a little bit away from Alabama, considering Jeremy Pruitt and also Derek Ansley are now in different now have different business cards from when they were really jockeying and recruiting Tyson Campbell. I don't think Nick Saban, who's still at Alabama, has quite the relationship with him that a Mel Tucker has and also a Kirby Smart has, and even a James Toley, who's Georgia's kind of ace recruiting in South Florida. The other thing to think about there that maybe worked for Georgia's favor is Georgia has a pretty famous alum in Fly Guy Two Stacks, that would be Sony Michelle, who came from the same American Heritage program in Plantation, Florida. Now, the neat little wrinkle here is normally that's not so big a factor because Sony Michelle's playing days and Tyson Campbell's playing days for the Patriots are probably about 6 years apart. But what does matter here, though, is a continued relationship where Sony, from time to time, gives him a green light, gives him an A-OK about how he would like things and how he would fit in well at Georgia. So those are all things to consider. The other thing to think about there with Miami, I don't know if it's been written or reported a lot, but it's kind of like, I guess I want to localize it for all of our viewers and listeners here. It's kind of like, maybe let me just use a hypothetical Gwinnett County high school because there's not one. And let's say Gwinnett County had a hard time sending players to the University of Georgia. That's not too hard to fathom, but especially talented players. And Gwinnett County High School watched maybe similarly talented players, maybe the three-star variety, the low four-star variety from other regions of the state go to Georgia. And Georgia's interest in nearby Gwinnett County High School was kind of always fleeting. There's a little bit of that regarding Miami and American Heritage. Now, they've just started recently to start bringing in some of the top talent from that school, but there are multiple occasions where American Heritage kind of looked at Miami and saw them take other players and not their players of similar talent, and that was a concern.
That's a really interesting thing to think about there, Jeff. We talked before you joined us about some of Justin Fields' tweets about Tommy Bush lately. Now, these were mostly men and fun and kidding around with what I imagine may be one of his friends there on the Texas roster. But there was some sort of fun back and forth stuff. Does Fields know something about Tommy Bush that the rest of us are going to learn on Wednesday?
Well, I think Fields will probably know quite a lot. I was kind of wondering where you'd take that direction because, you know, Justin kind of tweeted – and he kind of covered all the bases. If we had the term, you know, using all of his receivers, well, he kind of used all of Georgia's targets with a few tweets over the weekend. There was a tweet that has since been deleted that was sent to Quay Walker. Yep. There was actually even a tweet to Antoine Green. And then there was that tweet regarding Tommy Bush as well. So I think Justin just wants big receivers to feed the ball to, and I think that's what he's looking for. And obviously Justin has been a big advocate and a big kind of down-low recruiter for Georgia since he's been committed to the program, going all the way back to October the 6th. I think it was highly interesting that Justin was there at the Under Armour All-American game that week. He wasn't participating, so that gave him quite the opportunity to talk to guys like Quay Walker and Tommy Bush, maybe on behalf of the program. Now, he didn't come at anybody with any hard sells, but he basically left a welcome mat, let's say, for everybody in Athens and Buttsmere. In terms of anybody that was considering Georgia.
I want to talk about that deleted tweet in a moment. That's the kind of thing that we just can't help but pay attention to here on Dog Nation Daily. Before that, though, do you read anything into the fact that Bush is going at around 11:30, 11:45 Eastern time tomorrow, Rick Sandage, different position, going around, what, I guess 2:30 p.m. is the latest on him on that. You know, this is an example of moving parts here. We don't know who Georgia's priorities necessarily are. And we don't really know who the yeses are, who the maybes are. Does Bush going early tip the hand of what Sandage may do later on?
Well, no, because I think, Brandon, here's what happened is both, according to my information, direct information from the families, mind you, according to my information, both Bush and Sandage were giving the Georgia coaches their information on Monday. Kind of wrote about that on the blog. Actually, I felt, and I kind of pinned it this way, I felt the big decision day that really shaped Georgia's class for the remainder of 2018 was Monday, because that's when they learned the Sandage decision and the Bush decision. Those are two key pieces of information. I think the Sandage family actually got on a speakerphone and all told the coaches at those respective schools his decision. So what happens forward from there is, I know there's a lot of models out there, Brandon, how Georgia can sign five guys. And if they can sign five guys, I'm going to learn something. Because I look at the blue shirts, I look at the scholarships Georgia gave out last year to Hot Rod Blankenship. And to me, you know, David Marvin, Akilah Crumpton, to me, I can't see them getting to 25. Okay. So to me, that means to me there's really two, three guys left in the class, if that. Now, I did learn, and it's going to be in the blog this morning, along with a heavy dose of Tyson Campbell stuff. Jordan Davis, I got in touch with Jordan Davis. That's the three-star defensive tackle out of Mallard Creek in North Carolina. He tells me his decision is still Georgia all the way. He will make a 9 a.m. decision from Charlotte, North Carolina. So that, my friends, it's kind of going to be like you're going to see all the puzzle pieces laid out to you before Rick Sandage makes his decision, to kind of come back full circle on that question for you there, Brandon, because Jordan Davis will have signed 9 a.m. Tyson Campbell will make his decision 10 a.m. You're going to have names like Tramell Walthor. You're going to have names like Otis Reese, Quay Walker. All of those guys will have made their decision by the time 2:30 rolls around, and Rick Sandage looks like the biggest remaining, I guess, bogey on Georgia's radar of the day. And should all those things, should a lot, even a handful of those events turn out to be yeses or nos, that will give you a pretty good read on what Rick Sandage will likely say during his ceremony.
Okay, so what you just said about Jordan Davis is new information for me. So in just a moment, I kind of want to like go back to that and deal with all those defensive tackles all at once, because that's actually a pretty interesting sort of addendum to this conversation. Let me go back to Quay Walker here, though, because I said we were going to hit that. The fact that Fields tweets out, Justin Fields, I mean, sort of tweets the picture of him, like a lot of these recruits when they go on their official visit. Walker was in Athens this weekend, wearing the Georgia gear, standing in front of the photo backdrop. Then Fields deletes that tweet. I sometimes joke that, you know, social media can be misleading, but what you don't see is usually pretty telling. The fact that we no longer see that picture on Justin Fields' timeline, is that bad news for Georgia, or an indication that bad news is likely for Georgia when it comes to Walker?
No, I don't think that's it, Brandon. That'd be reading in there. Like, you know, I think you've used the term Zapruder film a lot to really dissect it or anything. Well, that would be you maybe as lead CSI tweet investigator for DogNation.com. I think it could be a number of things. It could be A, not wanting to provide a tell online. B, just an enrolled player not wanting to, you know, have that look on Twitter with a prospect still in question. And then, you know, those are the two main things that could be happening there. And I wouldn't read into it as positive or negative. If you really want a continued survey in the field, you could sit there and you went, okay, that was a picture of Quay Walker in the Savage Spike shoulder pads. And that was a new one that the program brought out for the photo opportunities in the Georgia photo booth that weekend. He also took a picture with Kirby Smart. And then if you follow the timeline and the whereabouts, now, we're not on flight trackers or anything else like that, but you got to remember, later that night of that official visit day, Kirby Smart ends up in Lee County in Leesburg to watch Otis Reese in his basketball game. You know, you could also kind of really dissect that turn of events, and you can say, Kirby leaving Quay Walker's visit. I think Quay Walker is a take for Georgia in any model or in any proposed scenario. So for the head coach to leave Quay Walker's side along an official visit, could probably speak good things for the program, or the devil on Brandon's shoulder, the one that chews his fingernails way too much, could sit there and go, well, I think that means that Kirby cut bait and went to go fishing.
Yeah.
I think it could be A or B or none of the above, because remember, that was the last chance to get in front of Otis Reese, and he decided to take that.
A couple other sort of points about this for a moment. There is some thought that J.J. Peterson, who I believe is supposed to be a friend of Quay Walker, Peterson's from Colquitt County, Walker's obviously from Crisp County, but Peterson's who's a Tennessee commit. Alabama's trying to flip that commit back to Alabama. He was an Alabama lean before committing to Tennessee, as you know. If Peterson jettisons the Tennessee class, does that impact Walker one way or another?
I don't think it does. I think, you know, Quay Walker is a guy that if J.J. Peterson is not going, then that takes away one big-time other player on the defense. I mean, the main thing for Shearer and Pruitt to pitch at Tennessee is opportunity to play right away, and we're building something. Well, if J.J. Peterson is not there, that to me, or anybody, or any layman look at it, and it's like, okay, anybody going to play linebacker at Tennessee is one to be surrounded by talented young guys And with Peterson not coming in to play alongside Walker, that would probably work against Tennessee in that favor. But you got to remember, I think Quay Walker is a guy that anybody will have, anybody would love to have. And if seeing what's out there and sensing from what I'm hearing, it still to me seems like it might be Georgia or Tennessee. If you want to invest some thought into some wild card scenarios, if J.J. Peterson went back to Alabama where he was trending all along, then perhaps that might help things for Quay Walker in Alabama as the potential third school that's in the mix for Quay Walker. And I don't know if I've checked his timeline recently on his Twitter page, Brandon, uh-huh. but while we're really hammering home every little detail and every scrape of minutia we can find on Twitter, there was a point, at least over the weekend, where Quay Walker, or maybe Monday, where Quay Walker removed the designation that he was an Alabama commit from his Twitter page.
Okay, that's an interesting sort of add-on to that as well. At this point, is Otis Reese a more likely commit or signee for Georgia than Quay Walker? And sort of a follow-up to that question, just sort of any final thoughts you have here on Reese. He'll go at 10 a.m. tomorrow, one of the big potential dominoes to fall for UGA. You mentioned the fact that Kirby Smart's in Lee County for the basketball game, senior night, on Saturday night. You know, your sort of final thoughts here on Otis Reese.
Well, I guess the main thing is I don't think Georgia is going to get everyone on signing day. I know that seems like a rather elementary point here, but they're not going to get everyone. But the thing I'm curious about is, and then you would have to know the exact pecking order of the staff and everything else like that. I don't know what might happen with everybody says yes, and what does that mean to Tommy Bush? That's something to think about right there. What does it mean for perhaps one of Georgia's three-star defensive tackle commits? That's something to think about right there, especially if Rick Sandage wants to be a Bulldog. So my thought, and I still kind of put a lot of stock into what I said maybe, I don't know, at least maybe 7 to 10 days ago on this show, where I kind of felt it was no longer out of bounds and it was no longer Brandon Adams style greedy to think Georgia could land both Walker and Reese in the class. I would imagine if Georgia could, in any scenario, Walker, Reese, Campbell, any sort of close that involved those three guys, I would bet, and I'd love for hear everybody else to weigh in, I would bet that that would be the most desired recruiting finish for everyone in this class. Doesn't have to be Sandage, doesn't have to be Bush. If it involves Campbell, Walker, and Reese, I think everyone, even the most bodacious, even the most stingy, even the most nitty-picky, anal-retentive recruiting fan would still be happy with that one.
Yeah, I think you'd have to call that a win for the program for sure. All right, you gave us what at least for me was new news about Jordan Davis. I didn't know that he had a publicly scheduled time for his signing tomorrow, but apparently you say Davis is at 9 a.m., We knew that Tramell Walthour, I believe, is at 10:30 in the morning. That was scheduled yesterday. The fact that they now both have publicly scheduled signing ceremonies, does that mean that both Dave, and I hate to ask such a blunt question, but, you know, this is obviously on the mind of a lot of fans. Does that mean that Davis and Walthour are both definitely in this class if they have publicly announced times when they plan on signing?
Yeah, I think so. They can definitely commit. There's just different rules now there with signings. When a player signs in the class and doesn't qualify, that's something to think about there as well. Yep. Because the school would then lose that slot. That could be any sort of range of academics or whatever. So I think both of those guys are going to make their decision. Tramell Walthour has always been Georgia. I think the only thing we've learned about Tramell Walthour is he is seeking to improve his score.
Yeah,
he was taking his ACT test. That's as far as I'll take that one. And then Jordan Davis just interacted with him this morning. He still says he's UGA all the way. There was no matter of concern there. So more of the models, and I'll be interested to maybe learn a little bit about this as well, because nobody's really ever privy to how Georgia classified Devontae Wyatt or how Georgia classified Crumpton and Marvin last year. So if Georgia can get to five, especially this is something to think about really early in the morning. If the Davis decision and the Walthour decision are both signees by 10:30 a.m., and then you've got that 11 o'clock hour with Walker coming up, and then you've got Reese coming up. I think Reese is at 10. I think Walker, Walthor is at 10:30. I think Quay Walker would be 11. So you've got all these guys in a row, and if those all turn out to be Georgia, the class fills up quite a lot. And I can't forget, but not include Tyson Campbell in there as well at 10. So
right.
There's going to be a lot of ducks on the pond in the early morning and then off the pond by the time everybody's eating their lunch around 12:30 or 1.
Yeah, and that lunch is going to be taking place at the Marlows in Dunwoody tomorrow. Jeff, that's where I'll be doing Dog Nation Daily Live. Terrence Edwards is going to be with us. We're going to be following all this. It's going to be a sort of a crazy final push here for Georgia. I'm excited about that. Before I let you go, let me squeeze in one more question here. And maybe I'm sort of off on this, but I think this is kind of interesting that, you know, Nicholas Petit-Frere is a big five-star offensive lineman, and much like Tyson Campbell is sort of the key for Georgia getting the number one overall class, Petit-Frere, his destination could also impact Georgia. He's not going to Georgia, but if he goes to Ohio State, it makes it easier for the Buckeyes to get the number one overall class. If he goes somewhere else, it makes it easier for Georgia. So, Jeff, you've got dog fans who've got a dilemma here. Do you root for Petit-Frere not to go to Ohio State? The next likely landing spot may very well be Florida. So Florida gets a five-star, Georgia gets the number one overall class. Or Georgia doesn't get the number one overall class, and Florida sort of misses out on a five-star recruit. It's kind of an interesting choice for some Georgia fans to make tomorrow in terms of their rooting interest, right?
Brandon, come on, man. I think you need to get another cup of coffee, sir. I think you're pulling your heart of hearts punch there just a little bit. Here's what I would have predicted, and I would have thought you would have wanted.
Okay.
You would have wanted Ohio State to get Petit-Frere, and that way he falls out of the clutches of both Alabama and Florida, and
that's
keeps another
point.
Five-star offensive tackle
that's
off the board in the SEC.
Good point.
And you can just let everybody do what they do, and Georgia would just close with Tyson Campbell, Otis Reese, and Quay Walker. And it doesn't matter what the Buckeyes do. Georgia's still going to put up a number higher than that score.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple way to close it out and wrap it up. And, boy, that'll be interesting to watch if that were to indeed play itself out that way. Jeff, it's a lot of moving parts here. It's almost at times more for me to keep up with than I'm capable of. That's when we have you. I look forward to reading the blog later on today. Look forward to checking in with you, you know, at least in terms of, you know, what you're writing about a lot tomorrow. We'll have you back on the program at the end of the week and sort of catch our breath and sort of figure out where all this sort of lands for the dog. Thanks for your tireless work to get ready for it. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon and reading every word between now and then.
Brandon, always my pleasure. Everybody out there, have yourself a great National Signing Day week.
You too, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, not the only recruiting guest we have on today's show. Jeff Sintel just blew it out of the water. Outstanding stuff from him. Coming up a little more than 5 minutes from right now, if you're watching us on video, we'll have, or listening to us on the radio, I guess, as well. We'll have former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards, does a great job now as sort of a personal wide receiver coach, but he's also a terrific analyst when it comes to a lot of the elite recruits around the South. Terrence is going to be with us to share his thoughts on how Georgia's 2018 class is coming to a close and to preview his appearance with us tomorrow at the Marlows in Dunwoody. Another big reason why you want to be with us at the Marlows in Dunwoody, because Terrence Edwards, the former Georgia great, going to be with us there as well. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway in Dunwoody. Doors open 11 a.m. tomorrow for that. We're looking forward to being a part of our Marlows signing day event at the Marlows in Dunwoody tomorrow morning, starting at 11 a.m. Special guests, live coverage of the Otis Reese decision, the Quay Walker decision. It is a busy, huge day for us. By the way, happy birthday to Ms. Fromm. As Jeff Sintel said a moment ago, Ms. Fromm, a frequent viewer, I believe, of Dog Nation Daily. We love the Fromm family. Obviously proud of what Jake's been able to do, and I know she has a huge smile on her face this birthday week, given all the great success that all of her children, both at the high school and the college level, are enjoying right now. So happy birthday to you, Ms. Fromm. Let's do our SEC through here. A few stories. We just, for a moment ago, talked about Alabama and kind of what it can do when it comes to its recruiting close. Saw some quotes from Tommy Luganbill, the ESPN recruiting analyst, as quoted by AL.com. Luganbill says that Alabama can still get into the top three. Now, he means when he says that, he means the ESPN rankings, but that's also sort of helpful for us in the overall discussion. He says if they can get the offensive lineman they need, the wide receiver they need, the cornerback they need, then at that point in time, the top three is still a possibility. What's interesting, of course, about this is the fact that Alabama has been number one in the country in recruiting every single year going back to 2010. Definitely not going to be number one this year. It's either going to be Ohio State or Georgia, but a top three close would still be pretty strong for Alabama, given the fact that it really sort of finished December, I think, on a mostly disappointing note. But in order to get up to those high rankings by the end of this recruiting cycle, they need that offensive lineman. Nicholas Petit-Frere, the guy that Jeff and I were just talking about, would seem to be one of those candidates. But right now, I mean, I would think that I shouldn't guess, because the truth is I don't know. But it certainly seems like there's a better chance of them going to Florida or Ohio State, maybe, than to Alabama. That's probably worth watching. Same thing with the wide receiver. You know, maybe they get Jacob Copeland, the young man from Pensacola. That's a guy that's obviously had, you know, sort of a strong link to Alabama for a while. But, I mean, based on Copeland's recent Twitter activity, if I had to guess what he's doing, I'm thinking he's probably going to Florida as well. So Florida may be picking up a couple here at the expense of Alabama. If I had to guess, that's maybe the guess that I would make. And then you get to the quarterback situation, which, you know, right now, my bet would not be that Tyson Campbell ends up at Alabama. Alabama's sort of thrown in the white flag against Isaac Taylor Stewart. They sort of already started the smear campaign against him. At least that's the appearance that I get there. So I don't think they're getting Taylor Stewart. At that point in time, you're sort of left wondering, can Alabama sort of close out with some of these big names it needs to get to finish off this 2018 class? By the way, speaking of Alabama and its pursuit of cornerbacks, they are apparently, at least according to what's being reported, still alive and in it for Patrick Surtain Jr. You know Surtain as the high school teammate of Tyson Campbell. He's the other cornerback there on that roster. Well, Surtain told SEC Country this week that he's still undecided. You know, is it Alabama? Is it LSU? LSU seems to think they've got this guy locked up, at least if you hear from LSU fans. They'll certainly tell you that. But as it looks right now, Surtain is saying that he is still undecided on all of this. He'll choose, and most of us think the choice is between Alabama and LSU here. And for now, he says that he is still kind of trying to make up his mind on that. That'll be one to watch tomorrow. Another one to watch when it comes to SEC recruiting battles is J.J. Peterson. We talked about him earlier. He is the pass rusher from Colquitt County. Colquitt, of course, one of the great programs in the South. Close relationship with Jeremy Pruitt. When Pruitt went to Tennessee, Peterson committed to Tennessee despite the fact that he never visited Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt was Rush Probst's defensive coordinator back when Probst was the head coach at Hoover High School in Alabama. But listen, you know, can you really go to a school that you hadn't even visited probably up until very, very recently? AL.com is reporting that Alabama is trying very hard here at the end to kind of flip J.J. Peterson. And so we'll kind of see how that goes down there. I'll also mention a couple other quick stories that we'll talk about on SEC Country Live this afternoon. Tennessee no longer wearing its gray uniforms. That's a choice that Jeremy Pruitt has made. They're not doing that anymore, kind of trying to put the Butch Jones era behind them. And, by the way, Texas A&M gets a huge commitment from Leon O'Neal, the four-star safety and a guy that really showed out during All-Star season. So a big win there for the Aggies. We'll make that your SEC through. And we'll now turn our attention here on Dog Nation Daily to a guy that's going to be with us tomorrow morning and during the lunch hour over there at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody for our signing day spectacular. It is the former Georgia receiver and a great wide receiver coach now working with a lot of elite recruits around the country. It is Terrence Edwards here on Dog Nation Daily. Terrence, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. It's good to have you back. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I want to talk to you about a lot of stuff here, obviously, over the course of the next couple of days, in person tomorrow at Marlowe's, here on the radio and the podcast and on video for a couple of minutes here as well. Let me start our conversation, though, with some of the receivers that either Georgia's going to get. Have you seen Kyaris Jackson, the young man from Peach County, that's going to be a big part of this 2018 class for Georgia, maybe sort of sliding in and filling that slot position in the years ahead? What can you tell us about Kyaris Jackson, and how excited do you think the Georgia fans ought to be to have this young man in the fold?
I think a lot of the Georgia fans are going to be very excited, and I just equate him to Tyreek McGee. A lot of people didn't know who Tyreek McGee was or is before he got to Georgia, but those Peach County middle Georgia players are just good football players. And Kyaris Jackson is just another one of those guys that's a good, solid football player that's going to make a lot of Dawg fans happy.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Peach County is a great place to go down there and get – a good player from, and a good wide receiver such as yourself is going to recognize one. It sounds like you like what Jackson's bringing to the table. We talked a few minutes ago with Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting analyst, about Tommy Bush, big, tall receiver from out in Texas. We don't know yet for sure if Bush is going to be a member of Georgia's 2018 class. Does Georgia want to use defensive guys to fill these final spots? Is there room for a guy like Tommy Bush? Would Bush choose Georgia over his other options? We're still trying to figure all that out, obviously. We'll do that tomorrow. But how important is it for Georgia to replace Javon Wims, a big, tall receiver who put up big numbers for the Dogs, with another receiver like Bush, who himself sort of brings that size quotient to the table?
I think it's very important. You know, 6'5 receivers just don't grow on trees, especially a 6'5 receiver that's actually a very, very talented wide receiver. And I really hope that Georgia gets this kid. I watch him just like I watch all the receivers around the country. And he's the guy that, like you said, could fill Javon's shoes. We also have Matt Landers in the fold as well, that's registered this year, that we've heard about and heard people rave about. So you got to have at least one or two of those 6'5 guys that that can win 50-50 balls. And that's what Javon did a lot for us, with those 50-50 balls that we needed for him to come down when he made the play. So you need guys like that on your roster.
So one of the reasons why Georgia's in the mix for some of the receivers that it is, I think for Kyaris Jackson, for sure, it's the impact of Justin Fields, the 5-star quarterback. I mean, Fields is obviously a highly rated recruit, but Terrence, what is it about Fields that makes receivers and tight ends like Luke Ford, why do guys want to play with Fields as much as they seem to want to?
Man, first of all, I've met him a couple of times. He's just a good person, a good kid. So once you have your quarterback as being a good person, a good kid that gets along with everybody, that attracts talent. And also, people see his skill set. He's a dual threat guy that can make plays with his legs, and we also seen him be able to make plays with his arm. So as a receiver, we could get some of those off-schedule passes. What off-schedule passes mean, where the protection breaks down and Justin uses his legs to get out of trouble, and he hits us for a 50-yard bomb because the defense broke down. So when you see a guy like that who literally is a dual threat, 4-5 guy with a powerful arm like his, that's going to attract other talented players to want to play with.
You have been, and your role as a wide receivers coach, and obviously we'll tell folks at the end how they can get in touch with you, because you have done a great job with guys in the NFL right now, guys at Georgia right now. You've coached so many of these on an individual basis. But in your work, you've also spent some time around the Pace Academy program, I understand, and you've seen up close and personal a guy like Jamari Sawyer, who is also going to be a big part of this 2018 class for Georgia. What does Sawyer bring to the table? Big 5-star offensive lineman. How much are Georgia fans going to like watching this guy just maul people for the next 3 or 4 years?
Man, this upcoming football season will be my third season at Pace. And so for 2 years, I've seen Jamari up close and personal. And first and foremost, he's a good kid, man. He is someone that you would want your daughter to bring home. He's just that special of a kid off the field. And equally, he's just that good on the field. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of players, and I haven't seen a lot of players that I get confident with 100% say, he's going to be a 15-year NFL vet. I mean, that's how good he is. And, I mean, Kevin Johnson over there does a tremendous job. I mean, look at Andrew Thomas starting from day one. And Jamari can have that same impact at Georgia once he arrives.
That's very well said. It's one of the reasons why, Terrence, we're looking forward to talking to you more about recruiting at the Marlows in Dunwoody for our big event tomorrow. That is going to be a lot of fun. Before we let you go here for today, though, I mentioned the work that you're doing as a wide receivers coach. You've worked with some really big names. You know, Tavares King's a guy you've worked with. He's been in the NFL. Trey Blunt's a guy you work with individually. You know, he's at Georgia and played a lot in his freshman season. For people who want some of that same kind of instruction, how can they get in touch with you and find out more about the individual coaching sessions that you're providing?
Well, you could definitely find me on social media. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and Twitter. And you could just type search Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy. And if anyone's out there looking to get to that next level or just want to be the best high school player that you could be, please feel free to get in touch with me and let's schedule some and get an evaluation done and get the process rolling.
And Terrence, obviously Georgia fans, you know, love you, remember you greatly at Georgia. They also your brother Robert as well. And I understand congratulations is in order for Robert, head coach now at Riverwood here in the state of Georgia. Is that my understanding there for your brother?
That is correct. He spent his last 6 years down in Greene County, and it was time for them to go in a different direction, time for him to go in a different direction. He's very excited about heading up the program over in Sandy Springs at Riverwood, and I'm excited for him as well. It's a good opportunity to show his coaching ability. So I'm excited for him. As of this year, people will ask, no, I'm not going with him next year. I'm still committed to Pace Academy. But, you know, Robert is, you know, is my best friend and my best brother. We talk every day, so I help him out any way I can.
Hey, Terrence.
And that's going to be able to train his receivers, too.
Terrence, thanks for your time on Dog Nation Daily. We'll see you tomorrow at the Marlows in Dunwoody.
Thank you. I can't look forward to tomorrow. And go, Dog.
Really good stuff from Terrence Edwards. And listen, so proud to see former Dogs like Terrence, who's really making an impact in so many people's lives as a great coach. His brother Robert, who is also a great player in Georgia, head coach in the high school ranks. It's just kind of cool to see those guys still so connected to football and now impacting sort of the next generation of Robert and Terrence Edwards. You know, those next high school players kind of come up through the ranks. Really good stuff there. And I cannot wait to be with Terrence tomorrow at the Marlows in Dunwoody. I hope that you'll be with us there as well. Doors open 11 a.m. We'll cover everything with signing day there tomorrow from the Marlows in Dunwoody. It's going to be a lot of fun. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. If you're in the Atlanta area, take a break and come over and have some lunch with us and hang out and do that. By the way, 263 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily. And so many of you sent the link to me of Shane Matthews, the former Florida quarterback, who I guess is going to prison for like some sort of fraud deal. I'm not quite sure what to say about that, but tough time to be that former Gator, I guess. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.